Hello and welcome back to Multifaceted Mama. I'm really excited to share this next episode with you all. Whilst in the depths of my postpartum journey, I was online, most probably on Instagram, and Meg, the founder of the Postpartum Plan, reached out and she couldn't have at a better time. Nobody can prepare you for those weeks after having a baby. The emotions that flood your body when your hormones are all over the place. Your body feels quite alien, you feel sore, you're exhausted, and you have a tiny human to look after. It's magical, challenging, exhilarating, and overwhelming, all rolled into one. I just have this newfound appreciation for all mums, no matter how they birth their child. Let me tell you a little bit about this inspirational woman whom I had the pleasure to talk to on this episode. Meg created the postpartum plan to support new parents and their journey into postpartum. Because of the lack of support that there is in the UK, in other countries, there are rehabilitation programs for postpartum women, and quite frankly, we have nothing quite like it. Meg talks about her trauma and her birthing experiences, her first birth experience, which led her to create the postpartum plan, which, by the way, is an incredible platform. So firstly, I just wanted to say not only thank you for coming on my podcast, but also thank you for creating the postpartum plan, because I think it's an incredible platform and I'm very grateful to be a part of it.
It's a joy to have you, honestly. Every member who comes through has a different story, a different thing that they're working for through, a different transformation, and I love it. So it's wonderful to have you. And postpartum plan was really created from my own personal experience and frustrations, which I'm sure we'll go into. So it really brings me so much joy to know I'm supporting others who might be going through the same.
Absolutely. I was actually gonna get stuck in straight away and say I know why you created the postpartum plan, but let's talk about it so that everyone else can find out. So it's related to birth trauma and PTSD. So I'll put a trigger warning on this episode if you like. But if you're comfortable to, then let's get to it. Why the postpartum plan came about.
Yeah, so there's three reasons really. So I'll start with the two that don't include a trigger warning. So first of all, I'm a reflexologist by trade. So I'd always see women for fertility and pregnancy reflexology. And then they would just drop off when they had their babies, because our brains change when we have children. Mm-hmm. And that's our primal brain keeping our baby alive. Our brains are still the same as they were when we in caveman times. Hasn't really changed that much. It's society around us that has changed. So our poor brains are trying so quickly to catch up with it. But essentially our brain changes. So the areas of anxiety and empathy fire up, and that's to keep your baby alive, right? So you'll probably know it now that we've got little P. You'll go into a room and you'll immediately sort of survey the room, see if there's any dangers. I still do it with my two, and they're 5 and 4. Yeah. And that is to keep our babies alive. So all my clients for fertility and pregnancy reflexology would just drop off and just go and have their babies, only to return to me 6 months postpartum with physical and emotional issues such as insomnia, anxiety, chronic back pain, shoulder pain. And it frustrated me, because I was like, well, why can't people invest in their own health in that early postpartum period? Then the reason why I created it, because I created it in lockdown, because I couldn't stop thinking about all the mums that were having babies completely alone, because we're just not meant to be that way. Like I said, our brains are still stuck in that caveman times when we lived in villages, where even the 5-year-olds in the village would look after the babies. They'd hold the baby so we could sleep. So we are now living in a way that our brains can't really deal with. You know, we live on our own. We might not live near our families. We might not know our neighbors. So it goes against everything that our body needs.
That's quite interesting.
Yeah. You know, so that's what frustrates me so much. And I'm sure you heard it, like people's advice, sleep when the baby sleeps. Mm. You physically can't sleep when the baby sleeps if you're in the house on your own. Because if you're in the house on your own, your brain is wired for danger.
Yeah.
So why would you sleep when your brain is telling you that your baby needs to be looked after? And if there's no one else to look after it, you're the one who's constantly having to be on edge.
That makes so much sense, because even when I'm asleep, if my partner is fast asleep, I've got like one eye open, like watching her, is she breathing? And I feel like I am exhausted. Why am I not just like conking out, you know, when my head hits the pillow? But you do, don't you? You have this like almost panic, fight or flight mode on. That makes so much sense now you're saying that.
I don't know if you've listened to the What is Normal postpartum podcast, but it all talks about this because it's stuff we don't talk about. We talk about so much stuff about the baby, but we don't talk about all the stuff that goes on in our brains after we have a baby. So those are kind of the two more present reasons. And then the third reason, but I guess the most important reason why I created Postpartum Plan is because when I was pregnant with my first, I did everything right, in inverted commas. You know, I did the hypnobirthing, I planned my hospital bag, I planned my birth plan. And then I had this lovely birth in a pool that went wrong at the last minute, and my son was in distress and there was a risk of brain damage. So he was shipped off to NICU to be in intensive care for 72 hours, where he was essentially cooled. So he was given morphine and antibiotics, and he was cooled to prevent brain damage. So from 2:30 in the morning, from when he was born until 7 a.m. when NICU opened, I didn't hold him. I wasn't with him. There's everything that goes against all natural forms of when you give birth. And then I wasn't allowed to touch him in the incubator because I would warm him up. And we were just given a piece of paper about brain damage, and that was it. Nothing was really explained. And I went through what can only be described as a full trauma response. I know it now. I was in a hospital bed freezing and shaking uncontrollably, and that is a trauma response. Now, I didn't know what that meant. No one told me that I would go through that, and that it was okay and that it was normal, and how to deal with trauma. So after Jude came out of the incubator, he also, after having antibiotics and morphine, his stomach was stripped of all the good bacteria. He had reflux. I really struggled with breastfeeding because of the reflux, so I was in all kinds of a mess. And I told no one because I felt guilty that I wasn't doing well as a mother. And I would have intrusive thoughts at night, feelings of guilt, feelings of shame. I didn't talk to my husband about it. I didn't talk to my family about it. And I was really frustrated in myself because I did birth wrong, because in our society, we see birth as the end goal, and not as just the start of a lifetime of parenthood. So I started parenthood terribly. I was not a good parent in those first 3 months. And it took us going on holiday and just detaching ourselves from our current world for me to kind of snap out of it a bit. And then it's really been my mission to support women since then to realize that there's so much that goes on emotionally and physically that we don't get support for.
Yeah, absolutely. When you say you were a bad parent, like in that stage, what does that mean? Like, what do you mean by that? Because I'm sure there's so many women that think or are going through something quite similar and think, oh, I'm not being a good parent. But what do you mean by?
So I personally believe that being a good parent is looking after yourself. Mm-hmm. So when your child is born, they do not come out and go, oh, you haven't decorated my nursery. Yeah. For some reason, Instagram tells us we have to design the nursery in a beautiful way, right? Your baby, can I swear on this podcast?
Yeah.
Your baby doesn't give a shit what the nursery looks like. Your baby just needs you well. So when I say that I wasn't a good parent in that time, I destroyed myself in those 3 months. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't eating properly. I was criticizing myself every night, lying in bed, thinking of all the ways I could have birthed better. Mm. And I wasn't therefore the person that I should have been to Jude. Jude only wanted me. I am the best parent for him. Mm. And I will say this to everyone who's listening. You are the best parent for your child. I'm saying that I'm guessing that most people who are listening to this podcast, anyone who is listening to a podcast about parenting, I'd say is probably a good parent.
Yeah.
Because the fact that they're even interested in the concept of it. So that's why I don't think I was a good parent. I wasn't looking after myself emotionally or physically. You know, I didn't go to a physio. I had undiagnosed diastasis recti. I had a cut and a tear that I didn't sort out because I didn't talk to anyone. So I didn't look after myself. And because I wasn't looking after myself, as I say on postpartum planning, there's a kink in your hose, there's no water for anyone to drink.
Yeah, God, I love that. That it makes so much sense, doesn't it? But obviously, like, you can blame yourself, but, well, the NHS, they do an amazing job, but we don't have, like in other countries, and like you emphasise, we don't have that support. You are discharged. And even like myself, I ended up with a C-section, and similar to you with the brain damage leaflet. Well, I don't even think I got a leaflet. I got nothing. I didn't know that you should massage your scar. I didn't know like when I could do any sort of exercise. I'm Googling every day, and there's nobody to tell you or to help you. So you're completely left in the dark, aren't you? You're left to fend for yourself. So as much as like, you can beat yourself up, really, like you're not fully to blame, because there should be that support in place.
So when my mum had me a long time ago, she was in hospital for 6 days. That was kind of the classic standard. Yeah. You've got to think about the fact that the NHS was created in, I think it was 1945, when there weren't as many people, there weren't as many illnesses. Like, our NHS is bursting at the seams. I have so much compassion for them. Yeah. But what they've done is they've squeezed down parenthood to 6 hours, I think it is. I mean, it's more for C-section, obviously, but they are coping the best that they can. What has happened is we have a formula that helps people give birth, and there's a lot of quotas around giving birth and making sure that, you know, that people are giving birth safely. But there's not enough understanding of our hormones and what goes into postpartum. You know, your hormones drop to the level of a menopausal woman after you give birth.
Didn't know that. That's crazy.
So there is an amazing book called Unwell Women by Eleanor Cleghorn. I do not expect you to read it right now in the depths of postpartum, but it is an incredible book that explains the fact that our medical system has been created by men. And it's only since 1993 that scientists have started doing research on women of reproductive age. So before then, all of our research and all of our scientific studies are based on men or menopausal women. So there's zero understanding of ovulation, of our progesterone spikes, and what happens in childbirth, which is, I love Joe Wicks to bits, but Joe Wicks has created a system that is for 35-year-old men. Women shouldn't be doing HIIT and intense cardio every single week of their cycle. Yeah. That is just one small example of how women's hormones haven't been understood, and therefore we've been misrepresented in the medical system, which is why, as you can already tell, I'm so passionate about scooping us up and educating, because I believe that women are amazing. I'm sure after you gave birth, you felt the same. I was in that hospital for a week after I gave birth with Jude, and I wanted to go up to every single woman in there and be like, you're amazing. You're amazing. Look what you've just done.
I view and look at like mums and like women with children so differently. I'm like, it's so weird. For ages as well, I would look at somebody with children and think, oh my God, as if you've done that again and again. But like, obviously before you have children, you don't fully understand what somebody's endured.
And I think, you know, NCT definitely has its place. I think the issue that I have with NCT is I get a lot of people who come onto postpartum plan who have emergency C-sections. And I think the stat is something like 25 to 50% of women in the UK have a C-section, and of that, 75% is unplanned. So you've got a massive area of the population having a birth that wasn't what they planned. Mm-hmm. And therefore they come to postpartum plan saying, but I don't know how to recover from a C-section. I don't know what it means. And I think that NCT and our society thinks it doesn't want to scare people about what birth entails and what the aftermath of birth entails. And therefore it's almost like we don't trust people to take on that knowledge and feel okay with it. And so we don't tell people what happens in the recovery after birth, I don't think, especially when it comes to C-sections. And then when you've got a newborn, you're kind of trawling around the internet trying to find stuff, which is a dangerous place to be anyway. Yeah. So I'm trying to bring together the right knowledge for people so that they can be empowered, because I do believe women are amazing. And when we are educated, we're empowered and we're informed, and we can make the right choices for our bodies.
Definitely. I can hear how passionate you are. It makes me go goosebumpy because not only can I see how passionate you are, but I fully just agree with everything you've said. And it's just, yeah, there needs to be more support. Everyone needs a postpartum plan. And just like you said about having a plan, like everyone has a birth plan, or most people do. To be honest, I didn't have like a black and white birth plan because I was aware that it doesn't always go to plan. And so I didn't, although I had my essential oils and I was preparing for a water birth, I did know at the back of my head, might not happen. You had a water birth and then you experienced what you went through. That must have been like really traumatic. Could you, like, can you tell us a bit about your plan?
Yeah, I mean, it's just so funny to think about because my birth plan, you're told to do a birth plan and you're told to pack the hospital bag. And so you're given this list of things that you think that you need. But both my birth plan and my hospital bag went out the window because my birth plan was all like, I want a natural birth. And although I don't like that term, vaginal birth. I want minimal intervention. And then, of course, I'm in the birth pool and I can feel his head. You know, I could, whenever I put my hand down, his head was there, but he was back to back. And we didn't realize. So I'd been pushing with a back to back baby. And I had to be pulled out of the birth pool to go to the labor ward, and it all got, you know, scary and emergency, and I had 12 people suddenly run into the room. And, you know, he's absolutely fine now. But it was that sudden realization that it hadn't gone to plan. And at no point did anyone come in to me in the week that I was in the hospital and be like, how are you? Like, are you okay? You know, what you went through obviously was a trauma. Here's some great places to go. So that's why we have emotional freedom technique on postpartum plan, because that is what I discovered and therefore used to release the stuck trauma that I had from Jude's birth. And it's the most effective form of trauma release I've ever experienced. And then in terms of the hospital bag, I mean, you know, you pack the classic, and then I was there for a week. I mean, you know, we had to go, like, Dave had to go home constantly and bring back changes of clothes and all that kind of stuff. I look back, what's really good is because of EFT, emotional freedom technique, and all the work I've done on myself, and, you know, the subsequent birth I had with my daughter, which was a very different experience, I've lived through it. And I now think back to that time as an experience that has formed who I am now. Yeah. But I also look back to myself, oh my God, in 2016, and I just want to give her a hug. Mm. I was so lost and so, lost, I think is the right word. And I that's why I have so much empathy for all the members that come through postpartum plan and their stories that they have, because we are built up to believe we have to parent in a certain way and we have to be a certain way. And your way is the best way as long as you're looking after yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, bless you. Yeah, it sounds like you've been through such a journey, but I always think things happen for a reason. And you've now, you've given birth to this postpartum plan, and you're helping and inspiring so many people. And that's incredible. And had you not gone through that, you probably wouldn't be where you are today. So
no, exactly. And you have to see every experience like that, don't you? And I love the fact, like, my son is so invested in postpartum plan. He's like, Mommy, you made this? Like, you made this website? I'm like, yeah, I did. Like, this is something that I made. And I have this vision of when he's older and able to understand it, explaining to him that his birth has created something that helps other new parents who might be going through something similar.
Yeah. How did you prepare yourself the second time round?
So second time round, I knew what I knew. I did a lot of fear clearing. So fear clearing around how I felt about birth and postpartum. And that is just a very simple journaling technique. Again, journaling is one of the main parts of the reflection pillar of postpartum plan. It's one of the best forms of free therapy out there. And we talk a lot about journaling on postpartum plan. So I did a lot of fear clearing, and I didn't have a birth plan. I just didn't have one. And then she had me 2 centimeters dilated for 2 weeks. So I was, you know, waiting for 2 weeks. And then in classic Georgia style, it's really fitting of her personality. When she was ready to come, she was ready to come. And so I started feeling things at about 3 p.m. And we got in the taxi at 6 and got to the hospital at 6:45 because it was rush hour. And I gave birth at 7:04. So it was quick. It was really quick. Like the pool was still being filled. You know, it was very like intense in a different way. But I was home that night having pizza by 10 p.m. with a baby in my arms.
That's incredible. What, so did you opt for a water birth a second time around as well?
I did. But my caveat was I didn't want to be in the same birth center room as Jude. And I was very lucky. I had the same midwife I had with Jude, who took his birth almost quite personally. And so then really became like such an ally to me and was like, right, we're going to get you the birth that you want. And so then to the point that when I called her and I said I was in labor, she was like, oh, the other birth room isn't available. And I said, okay, don't worry, I can deal with that. It's fine. And as I got into the birth center, the cleaner came out of the room that I was supposed to go in because Michelle had obviously gone in and said, right, everyone out, clean the room. And I walked in and my waters broke. It was that moment of like, oh my God, like this is what I manifested.
Yeah.
So I did opt for a water birth again, which sounds crazy. And my husband was definitely very worried, but I did enough work on myself to realize that I wanted to go for it again. But I think the main differences were that I surrounded myself with a support team. So I had you'll probably recognize a lot of names because they're all on postpartum plan: Imogen, lactation consultant. I had Tando was my doula. She's a doula on postpartum plan. Megan, the physio, she helped me with my diastasis recti to make sure that was sorted. So I really invested in a support team around me to help build me back up again. And just my whole postpartum experience was like night and day because I was looking after myself. I was focusing on my health and my recovery. And Georgia's fine, you know, she was okay. So actually focusing on yourself can sometimes have a massive knock-on effect on your baby too, because your baby's coming along for the ride while you're feeling good about yourself.
Yeah. Wow. What an inspiration you are, because yeah, it does sound to anyone listening, why would you have a water birth? But the fact that you'd cleared all that fear and done so much work on yourself, like that's so inspiring and so empowering. So to anyone listening that has had like a traumatic birth, the thought of going and doing that again, it's hard, isn't it? I mean, even for me, like I wouldn't say I had a traumatic birth as such, but it definitely didn't go the way I'd hoped. And there was a lot of intervention and there was nothing really that natural about it. So the first sort of week I came home, I was very, and as you were, you're very tearful. And even now I think I said to my mum quite recently, gosh, if I do have another child, when I get to the 9-month stage, I think I'll be quite scared. And so I do know that I have got a lot, like a little bit of work to do on myself, because the thought of going into labor or being induced again, or I don't know how the second time round would pan out, but that does scare me. So
of course it does. And I think you've got to remember the word trauma, we've put a lot of emphasis on that word.
Yeah.
Trauma is anything the body can't cope with at that present time. So trauma can be a bad breakup, because it can be something that at the time you haven't been able to deal with. So I do appeal to anyone who feels like they've got unresolved trauma in them to work on it. And journaling is one of the best ways to do it. One of the things that we really say in postpartum plan is to journal your birth. So this was something that I did with Jude's birth, is that I wrote it down And then I wrote the whole story every 3 months. I just went back and wrote it again. And every single time it was slightly different because I was processing it. Because basically what happens when you journal is that you're using the left and the right side of the brain. So it's a completely different form of therapy than typing on a phone. It's like night and day. Your brain feels like it's processing something from getting pen to paper and feels like it's coming out of your mind and onto paper. So writing down your birth and processing it that way, I think, is a really, really powerful thing that you could do maybe now, or you can do it now and then, you know, in the future when you decide to have a second, do it again and just start to relive and process those things. And there are some amazing books about, you know, dealing with trauma and all those kind of things that you can do. I love to research and I love to learn. So I think that was another thing after Jude's birth is I just really went into and learned a lot about our bodies, how our bodies work, our hormones, but also how to deal with things like PTSD. And that has inevitably helped form postpartum plan.
Yeah, that is interesting that you say that, because quite recently, and even today, because I do have a journal and I try and, it's like a mindfulness journal. There's only 2 pages and they're quite small, so there's not that much room for writing and kind of getting all your thoughts down. But I do a little bit and it's like a day and night. And the last few days I keep thinking, I need to write. I feel like this urge to record and even to like record what's going on. Like yesterday, I had quite a bad day. Obviously, it was the hottest day we've ever experienced. Penelope was very unsettled. She's been a bit poorly. We had a tongue tie cut recently. Like there were so many elements, but she was crying. I was crying and it was so stressful. And today I woke up and I thought, I need to journal about yesterday. And it was a really strong kind of feeling. Like I need to write down how I was feeling yesterday. Today's a lot better. It's a better day, but it's like, I almost want to remember it, but kind of release. It's like enabling me to understand like that was a really bad day. Today's a better day. Better days will come. And there are going to be challenges along the way, because obviously motherhood, postpartum, it's a huge journey, isn't it? And a bit of a shock to the system. So I think, yeah, journaling is extremely powerful.
Yeah. And listen to what you just said, because you've journaled and you've accepted it. It's not in your mind anymore. It's out and it's become almost yesterday. It's become a thing that isn't pulling you into it. As you said, today's a new day. Everything that you're saying is so positive. And you've just got to remember that, you know, that you have these tools available. That's what postpartum plan is all about. These little tools that you can have in those moments of need. I check our login reports and a lot of the members log in at 4 a.m, 2 a.m, 4 p.m. You know that, well, for me anyway, 4 p.m. was always an awful time, because I'd be like, oh, like yeah, I've still got so much longer of the day. And I'd always call my husband at that time and be like, when are you coming home?
So close to witching hour, which is like that period where babies seem to be like inconsolable. I think it's like 4 to 6 or maybe a little bit later than that. But it does seem like a tough time, doesn't it, towards the end of the afternoon.
And then you wonder why there are no classes or anything available at that time, you know, because actually all the classes that I used to do, face-to-face classes, were always at like 12 p.m., 1 p.m. And I always find it a bit of an awkward time. Whereas that's what I love postpartum plan, the fact that it's 24/7, you know, you can do a class at 4 p.m. and just, you know, just do something that's a bit distracting, or do something for yourself at that time. And the baby can watch, you know, the baby can do the breath work with you. The baby can sit there while you're doing some gentle movement or doing your tapping. Because without getting too hippie about it, our energy and the way that we are, our babies and children respond to our energy. Mm-hmm. So by lowering your energy and being in a more relaxed state, your baby responds to it. I think the best example of that for me is that whenever I'd have someone come round who I'd be a bit worried, I'd be like, oh God, I hope Jude behaves himself for this person, because I really want to impress them. He would always act up with those people. And I always thought, oh God, it's like sod's law. And then I was like, well, no, it's actually me. That's me projecting onto him. And he's feeling that energy. And so he's acting up. So it does. That's why postpartum plan is all about the parent. Yeah. Because actually a lot of it is about our well-being, and as long as we're okay and we're feeling okay in ourselves and we've got the tools to really support our emotional and physical recovery, your baby, by and large, will be fine.
Yeah. I keep telling myself that actually about the energy and baby picking up on it, because I've had such a journey with breastfeeding. And when Penelope's irritable and like fighting and maybe crying and coming off like the breast, I feel like stress, which is probably a natural reaction, but and I start to feel like hot and quite sweaty and agitated, and then it just like spirals out of control. Whereas yesterday, there was a towards the end of the day, I like took a deep breath and was like, right, come on, burped her, swapped over to the other side and like took a deep breath and tried to calm myself, and then she latched and it was like, okay, we've got this. So it's like, it's your energy.
It is. So I just really recommend, when you know, when you have those moments, we've got all those breath work videos. Yeah. There's different types of breath work on postpartum plan. Choose the one that really works for you and just do it a little bit while you're feeding, or in those moments when you start to feel, you know, the tensions rise.
Yeah.
And it helps the body just calm again. And what you've already done it, you know, automatically, you've just shown a really good example of how you calming down and lowering that energetic level had a big impact on your breastfeeding journey.
Yeah, no, definitely. So let's talk through the platform. Obviously there's all different pillars: mindset, movement, recovery, nutrition, reflection. And actually, before we do, there was something I did want to mention, because a lot of the time I think postpartum people automatically think about bouncing back, and I absolutely hate that phrase now. And my mum actually kept saying it to me, oh Holly, you'll bounce back. And I said to her, stop saying that, because what if I don't? And also, I'm not even that interested in bouncing back right now, I've got other priorities. And I think a lot of the time on a postpartum journey, people automatically just think about weight and weight loss, and it's so like superficial, and it's all about your aesthetic, whereas there's so much more to being postpartum. And I think all these pillars cover that, like the mindset, the nutrition, reflection, and like the journaling and things that we've been talking about. So I think it's really important to like emphasize that and communicate that on this podcast.
I'm really glad you said that, actually, because there's so much I can say on the topic of exercise postpartum. So when I first started researching postpartum plan, I typed in postpartum into Google, and the first thing that comes up is postpartum body, postpartum bounce back, postpartum belly, postpartum fitness. And it got me really cross, because I'm just saying to everyone who has a baby, your body will never be the same. You have created and birthed a human. Your hips change, your foot size changes. I don't think very many people know that. Your boobs change. My boobs are completely different now. Your ribs move. You know, our organs have all moved to accommodate a baby. And that just means your body isn't going to look the same. It will look different. It'll look beautiful in a different way. But unfortunately, you know, if you type beautiful woman into Google, you will see a 20-something year old who hasn't had a child. That is what our society deems to be beautiful. And a mother's body is not seen as the standard model of beauty. And that really annoys me. Secondly, it is incredibly unhealthy and bad for you to exercise too much after you have a baby, especially if you have undiagnosed diastasis recti, if you have a prolapse. And it goes back to what I was saying before, that our exercise regime and model in our society is based on a man. So it's not based on our hormones, or based on, you know, we have a lot of relaxin in our body, for example, still after we've given birth. You shouldn't be doing really intense exercise. So that is why I called the movement pillar movement. I didn't call it exercise. I called it movement, because what usually happens with people who are postpartum is they're told to do nothing for the first 6 weeks before their sign off, their GP sign off. They go to the GP sign off. The GP doesn't do any internal examination, doesn't check for diastasis, doesn't check the pelvic floor, signs you off. And then, as one of my reflexology clients did, she went for a run and she wet herself because she wasn't given the appropriate support system to understand what she needed to do postpartum. So I believe those first 6 weeks, movement is one of the best things you can do. You know, move your body in ways that feel good, and stretch in a healthy way. So our movement is restorative yoga and connecting back to your body. So we do a lot of connecting back to your body and really understanding your body and what your body's been through, because it can feel quite alien after giving birth, can't it? Like,
completely. And it's funny you say that, because I've been talking to someone else who's postpartum, and I was just asking her what she's been doing, because I saw she was in the gym yesterday. She's only a few weeks ahead of me, and she was like, oh, I've only done cardio, but I need to do lots of work on my belly because it's like flabby and this and that. And I just thought, this is exactly what you've said. This is what like society is like drilled into us. Like, right, I need to go and do some crunches or some sit-ups, or I need to go and weightlift and get back and bounce back to what I was. And it's incredibly sad, isn't it?
Well, first of all, no one postpartum should be doing crunches or sit-ups.
No, I know.
So 100% of us, every single person who is pregnant, who carries a baby to term, will have some form of tummy muscle overstretch. Yeah. And of that, 30% will have diastasis. So I had diastasis, and that is when your tummy muscles actually split. Yeah. No one should be doing crunches or sit-ups. Interesting, you'll find this interesting as a postpartum plan member. I do quite a lot of feedback from the members. The most popular pillar on postpartum plan is mindset. And I just didn't think it would be. I just presumed it would be movement, because that's what everyone wants from postpartum. But I think what happens is a lot of members come onto postpartum plan and really resonate with mindset and realize that the emotional recovery sets the foundation for our physical recovery. So when we are feeling good, our bodies respond. So what's going on internally, our physical self will show. You know, when you're stressed, you show it in your face. When you're sad, you show it in your face, right? Anything that's going on internally will show itself physically in the rest of the body. So I'm a big believer in setting the emotional recovery first, building that strong foundation of emotional recovery to then build on the physical recovery. And secondly, postpartum plan is all about healing from the inside out.
Yeah, I love that.
It's not about, you know, a beautiful flat tummy. You know, all our tummies are beautiful because we've created life. Think about it. We have done something that half the population can't do.
Yeah.
You have literally created life in you. I just find that insane.
Yeah, I do. I also think as well, like, I'm a lot like softer, obviously, like my skin isn't as supple. It feels, and when Penelope's like lying on me and I'm like, we're cuddling or I'm breastfeeding, I feel like that's actually a lot more comfortable for her. Like, there's a reason that's there. If you were like rock hard and solid, that's not going to be nice for her to cuddle up to. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, enjoy that. Like, soft, it's like a soft pillow.
But also, you know, it really annoys me that society has created what our ideal body should look like. Who has the right to tell you what your body should look like?
Exactly.
Just be healthy. And feel strong. You know, as a parent, I think our priorities shift from the aesthetics, thinking, well, I want to be strong and healthy for my child because I want to still be able to bounce on the trampoline with my children.
Yeah. You know, yourself.
Yeah, my children are 5 and 4, and we have a trampoline in the garden. All they want to do is for me to jump on the trampoline. I'm pregnant. I can't do it really now. Yeah. But, you know, it's about having a body that means that you can be the person and the parent that you want to be, rather than some version of you that means that society accepts you. It's bullshit, in my personal opinion.
Yeah. That's the one thing I've actually been saying to my boyfriend a lot, is because he's like, Holly, like, you will get, because I obviously, you do get days where you're like, oh, like, I don't like the way I look today, or I'm, you know, I'm not feeling good. But most of it for me, every time he's like, oh, Holly, don't worry, you'll get back to it. I've actually said to him, no, it's not how I look. It's not aesthetic. It's how I feel. Like, I've got a backache. I don't feel strong. I don't, at the moment, I still can't lift many things because obviously post-section you can't. But my body feels so different, and I don't feel strong, and I don't feel like my posture's good. And there's so much work I need to do the things that you've just said, to be able to like run around after her when she's running around, and to go on the trampoline. And I don't feel strong, and there's a lot of recovery there. So it's not how how I look, it's how I feel. Which,
right, so you've hit the nail on the head, and that's the way that it should be, right? Like, there is no one way that you need to look, but it's how you feel as a person. And that is what postpartum plan is there for. The recovery pillar is so important because it's the three steps of rehabilitation, which is protect, stabilize, and rehabilitate. And Megan takes you through that, the proper way to do pelvic floor exercises, because that really kind of lays the foundation for strength within your body.
Yeah.
And then all the different exercises you can do to slowly build up. One of the best testimonials that we got was from a professional rugby player who came onto our plan. And she said that if she had not had postpartum plan, after her 6-week check, she would have gone on a 5K run, because she believe, you know, you just believe you're ready, right? At the 6-week check, you're told that that's when you have this magical moment when suddenly you're ready to exercise, but she knew she wasn't ready. And so instead she took her time. Her recovery was slower than she wanted it to be, but she is now, I think she's almost a year postpartum doing hill sprints. Yeah. She's back on the pitch and she feels strong. Yeah. And that has been one of the best testimonials for us, because it's been about education and understanding. And I joke with my husband, actually, we're always like, that 6-week check is kind of like when they tell you that when your child is 1 year old, they're suddenly allowed honey. It's like, well, what happens suddenly between, you know, the day before and then the day after, which means they can suddenly have honey, but some magic happens. Exactly the same with the 6-week check. There's no magic that happens when you approach 6 weeks that suddenly means that you can exercise as a collective. It's all about your own personal journey. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to teach people, is how to empower yourself to understand your body. So it's great that you're already tapping into how you feel,
yeah,
rather than how you look.
Yeah, really frustrates me that you go to the GP and you're like signed off to do all of these things. And also I've read that, well, after 6 weeks, you're no longer considered like postpartum, like you've just had a baby, which is absolutely crazy to me, because I'm 6.5 weeks and I am definitely still postpartum, still really emotional, still like trying to get to grips with everything that's happened, you know, and I'm not ready for exercise. And had I not been a member of the postpartum plan, I, like the rugby player from your story, definitely would have considered going for a run. I've not yet had my 6-week checkup, and I went to the doctors the other day and they said, we'll be in touch, and it's more likely to be towards 8, 8.5 weeks, which is interesting. But if they're not going to check my, obviously my pelvic floor, my stomach and all the rest of it, I actually don't really see the point, because why would I sit in the room and be told, okay, you're good to go, when nothing's been checked?
So if you listened, there's a podcast on the reflection pillar from a GP, mm-hmm. and I have that on there because I think it's a really important one. And it is about how to make the most of your 6-week check, 6 or 8 week check. It can be 6 or 8 weeks.
I've seen some posts actually about that.
Yeah, it's a really important one for you to do before you go to your check. She is very honest and she's like, listen, we have to ask questions like, what contraception are you using? Because it's part of our targets. Otherwise we don't get paid. So just have to understand that to not get frustrated. Exactly. But what she does amazingly in that podcast is she empowers you to go, here's the things that we have to ask. So prepare them in advance. Say, right, I know that you're going to ask this. This is fine. This is fine. X, Y, and Z. This is what I want from this session. And she says that you're completely within your rights to ask for a different GP. So if you have a male GP that's chosen for your 6-week check or your 8-week check, you can call up reception and say, I'd like to change the GP. You are entitled to ask for a check, for a diastasis check and an internal check if you want to. So it's all this stuff that we aren't told. And I go back to it time and time again with postpartum plan. To be empowered and to be educated is to be informed. And therefore, you know how to take control of your own health and your own body. Yeah. So I really recommend listening to that podcast. It's brilliant. And it will just really help you understand where GPs are coming from. So giving them compassion.
Yeah.
But also making sure that you make the most of that check.
Yeah. Oh my God, thank you so much. I'm so glad I've brought that up now. And I'm sure for anyone else listening to this that hasn't had that checkup, it's going to be so beneficial, because now I know that I can go in and ask for those things. I was looking at like the mummy MOTs that you can book and get. But no, absolutely. I want to go in and having that knowledge now, it'll be a completely different appointment.
Yeah. And I think, you know, they'll always ask, and how are you feeling? And a lot of us are taken aback when someone asks us that. And our automatic reaction is, I'm fine. We all do it, don't we? Mm. So have a think about actually how you are feeling.
Yeah. And maybe write things down. Actually, yeah, how do you address this? And yeah, definitely.
And what I always recommend is that if your child is in distress, you record it. Because, you know, if your child goes in at the time and they're always, for some reason, very happy in a doctor's office, they're not showing their real symptoms, so you record it beforehand and then you say, look, this is what's happening at home, and hopefully then they can advise you at the time. But just have a think, if someone says to you, a GP or a professional says, how are you, what's your answer going to be?
9 times out of 10 you do just say, yeah, great, fine, or you brush it under the carpet. But actually checking in and thinking, how am I feeling today and in my body, actually. No, that's such good advice. I'm so glad we've discussed that.
Good. I'm glad. I mean, the problem is that the 6-week check has just become something we all laugh at, a bit like my mum's generation all laugh at the fact they wet themselves. And it really annoys me, because I'm like, well, why do we laugh about it? Like, why do we all come out of the 6-week check and go, oh, that was a bit rubbish. They asked me what contraception I'm using. Why would they do that? Obviously, I'm not having sex. And it's like, well, no, they ask it because they need to get paid. But we don't know that. So we all bitch about the 6-week check without thinking, well, how can we make it better? It's exactly the same with my mum's generation laughing about the fact that they wet themselves when they laugh. And I always say to my mum, I'm like, why do you find that funny? Like, why do you live with that? But it's a generational thing of like, well, you know, that's just the way it is when you become, yeah, a woman. And it doesn't have to be. We don't have to wet ourselves. We have to, what we should do is know the appropriate recovery and rehabilitation, including the correct pelvic floor exercises, which I can pretty much guess most people don't know how to do pelvic floor exercises correctly, that can literally help to restore, in some cases, actually improve postpartum symptoms.
I'm going to leave it there, because I feel like that's such the perfect way to end this episode. Empowering yourself, having that knowledge before you go to your appointments. We've discussed the postpartum plan, all the pillars. And yeah, absolutely. Why should we have to live with weak pelvic floors, potentially like incontinence and all the rest of it? We don't need to.
No. And I think the suggestions in the title of postpartum plan, you know, if you have a plan in place, so you know who you're going to contact, you know who your support team are, you know who your visitors are going to be, you know who your physio is, you know that you've got the postpartum plan to be able to fall back on and make sure you've got a recovery plan in place, it helps to empower you to make the right decisions, rather than us just kind of like falling into parenthood and falling into postpartum and just bleary eyed being like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. It's just, that's why, you know, we were going to say the title of this podcast is going to be why a postpartum plan is as important as a birth plan. Mm-hmm. You know, we plan for that birth and we plan that hospital bag and we plan that nursery, whereas actually the most important plan that you can do is your postpartum plan.
Yeah. And also your birth plan, like a huge percentage of the time, isn't going to go to plan, whereas you can make that postpartum plan go to plan and, you know, have the professionals and experts around you and the support around you, which... Correct. It's amazing.
Correct. And we have a doula on postpartum plan who actually does a whole workbook. So you can go on and you can print out the workbook and you can write out what you want from your postpartum. And it's a form of manifestation. It's a form of visualization that when you write something down, another form of journaling, it helps to bring it to life. So that's just a really important part of it.
Love that. Absolutely love that. If only I'd found you before, but no, I'm a part of the postpartum plan now, and that's great.
And it's a joy to have you. So I didn't know whether to mention it now, but you've got a discount code, haven't you? So for, yes, anyone who signs up, it's Holly25 for 25% off all memberships and gift card options. So any of your followers, you know, it'd be a joy to have each and every one of you.
Let's spread the word and get the postpartum plan platform out there so that everybody can benefit. Thank you so much for listening, and if you did enjoy this episode, please do like, share, subscribe and review, because it makes a massive difference to how many people it reaches.